Baby, right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that subscribe button right down there. Hit that like button down there while you are at it. So what a time to be a sports fan. What a time to be a sports bettor. What a night we have lined up tonight. NFL draft, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, an avalanche of Major League Baseball games. There's a lot going on in the sports world right now. We are all over it on today's show. If you guys want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat right now on YouTube or over on X. Let us know what you're betting on tonight. Anything for the NFL draft, something under the radar that we should get down on. NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, let us know what you are betting on. Okay, so I have a very special guest coming up here in a minute, but just an observation here about the power of the NFL. Almost 300,000 people gathered last night to stand outside in late April in Detroit, not to watch a game, but to watch a man go on a stage and say the names of other men. When you break it down like that, it sounds kind of stupid, and it is, but I absolutely love it. The draft is an absolute blast every year. And of course, the big news out of the draft, it was pretty chalky here to start the first six or seven picks. But then we got to the Atlanta Falcons, and they shocked everyone. They took Michael Penix Jr. So I wanted to bring in the only Atlanta Falcons fan that I know, my old buddy. He is the pride of Colebrook, Nova Scotia. He is a former Wendy's employee. He is the biggest stud in the game. I am sorry, ladies, he is taken. I think, Ian, you're still in a relationship.
Yes.
He still has a girlfriend, so congratulations to that. So I did not see that coming, and of course I automatically thought of you. We see the Falcons helmet behind you. You're the only Falcons fan that I know. Let's cut to the chase here, Ian. I think that them taking on Michael Penix Jr. is the height of stupidity. The optics are absolutely horrible after bringing in Kirk Cousins. This is a team ready to win. They're in win now mode, and they could have added, you know, Adunze. They could have taken Brock Bowers if they wanted. They could have added an offensive lineman, one of the better defensive players in the draft, a guy who could make an impact in week one. But no, they're going with the Jordan Love model, I guess, and they take Penix Jr. So as a Falcons fan, I want to bring you on and get your thoughts on the selection of Michael Penix Jr. here in the first round by your Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about it, Joe, in several different ways. Last night I was doing a live stream during the draft, so I was there for every single pick. So it was going to be four and a half hour long stream. And after the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr., the rest of the stream, I got to keep talking. I got to talk about other teams. I got to break down the other picks, and it was very difficult to do because all I was doing was trying to figure out why the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall. It doesn't make sense because it's contradictory to signing Kirk Cousins. You would think signing Kirk Cousins to a 4-year deal, I believe, with a 5th-year option as well, with all that money, $140, $160 million, that's a win now move. That's a move that you make when you have a team that you think can go on a run. You're playing in a bad NFC South, the worst division in football. You think you can take advantage of that. Maybe take a deep playoff run, take advantage of the young talent. But then if you follow that same strategy, you would think that drafting 8 overall, you would either take a need in a pass rusher, which is by far the Falcons' number one need, something they haven't had in a long time, or even maybe, you know, you take another weapon for Kirk Cousins to have, a wide receiver. Rome Odunze was available at that pick. That's what I actually thought they were going to take. But then taking Michael Penix Jr. is a move that you make for the future. It would have made that move would have made sense if they didn't just sign Kirk Cousins. So they kind of contradicted themselves with making that pick. Now, the reason they've done it, and once I got off the live stream last night, I scrolled Twitter for, an hour and listened to reporters talk to try to make sense of it, is that I think their belief is that if Kirk Cousins is as good as they're hoping that he's going to be, they're not going to have a high draft pick while Kirk Cousins is there. You would think, at worst, they're going to pick like 20th overall, and it's going to be expensive to then move up from 20th overall or, even higher than that, hopefully, up to a top 10 spot to take a quarterback because Kirk Cousins isn't going to be there forever. So in their mind, this is the last time that they're going to get a chance at a top 10 pick. You've got to take your quarterback in the future, especially if you think he is the guy. So I guess that kind of makes sense in that thinking. But then again, he's turns 24 years old next month. Even if, now I will say also, it is worth noting the Kirk Cousins contract is only guaranteed for 2 years. So let's say even, you know, 2 years in the future, they do move on from him. They opt for Penix at that point. He's still going to be 26 years old before he takes a snap as a starter for the Falcons. That's Braden Whedon territory. So I'm baffled. I don't get it. I don't agree with it. The Falcons have been very vocal that in the draft, they will take the best player available, no matter the position. I thought that meant they're going to take receiver. I did not imagine it was going to be a backup quarterback, but I guess they truly do want to take the best player available, truly, regardless of position. Next year, if they pick 20th overall and they find a punter they think's good, they might take a punter in that spot.
Yeah, I think most people are of the same mind as me and you, that it is idiotic. I see some people trying to excuse it based on how the Jordan Love thing worked out in Green Bay. And Jordan Love had a good second half of the season. So let's settle down on that a little bit here. But yeah, just the optics, given the fact that they paid Kirk Cousins all that money and they could have added a guy that could have helped in week one, ready to go right off the bat. So absolutely crazy. We'll see how that works out. And I just want to say, this isn't a criticism of Penix, the player. Penix might be a really good player.
I like Penix.
It's a criticism of the situation.
Right.
You did not need to add a guy who's going to sit on the bench for 2 years, because if everything goes to plan, Kirk Cousins will play in every game for the next two seasons where he's under contract here with the Falcons. So crazy stuff.
If he plays really well and he stays healthy, he's going to be their quarterback for 4 years. So then you're not looking at Penix to start until he's 28. And then I think there's a fifth-year option. I might be wrong, but if there's a fifth-year option, they exercise that. 29 Penix will be by the time Kirk Cousins is out of there. So, yeah, the Falcons GM said last night, saying having two great quarterbacks is a great problem to have. I don't think it is, guys. It's not like we have, like, four awesome receivers and you can still get them in the mix. Unless you're going to run a two-quarterback system, you have a great player that you can't play. I don't see the benefit of that.
So one more Falcons-related question, then we'll move on. What did you make of the news that Bill Belichick wasn't really, I think it was, he wasn't in their top three candidates as head coach? Were you in on Belichick potentially becoming the Falcons head coach, or did you not want him anywhere near the team?
No, I was not in on Belichick being the head coach. I think the game has kind of passed Belichick by. I think Belichick is a great defensive-minded coach. I mean, even the past few years, their defense has been pretty solid. He's always drafted defensive players really well. Offensively, not good. I think when Tom Brady was there, he made up for a lot of offensive issues that Bill Belichick had. Belichick has never drafted offensive players well. And then once Tom Brady left, he couldn't coach the offense well. So, all respect to Bill Belichick. I mean, you can make the argument as the greatest coach of all time. But I think the game has evolved a lot, even in just the past 5 years, and I think it's passing by a bit. So, no, I did not want anything to do with Bill Belichick. I'm happy with Raheem Morris, especially with Zach Robinson as our offensive coordinator. But, I would have liked to at least get a player that we can use this year. Would have been nice.
Yeah, Belichick, pretty good reviews there on the Pat McAfee broadcast of the draft there last night. So people tend to like him in the media. He tells some pretty funny stories. Okay, a couple more observations from me. This one might be obvious, maybe not, but Caleb Williams, I think he's being set up to succeed perhaps better than any number one quarterback in the draft ever. You see this receiving group? He's got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, who's getting older, yes, but he's still good. And then they had Roma Dunze, pretty decent tight end pairing. Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, running back DeAndre Swift, and Khalil Herbert. Now the offensive line will need to improve. I don't know about Matt Eberflus, but this guy's being set up to be an absolute superstar. Compare what he has to what Bryce Young had last year. His top receiver was Adam Thielen. He's being set up better than Trevor Lawrence obviously was, who went number one overall, and he is being set up better than Joe Burrow. Remember that offensive line in year one in Cincinnati? So this guy being set up to be an absolute superstar, so no excuses for him if he underperforms. And probably another obvious observation here, not going out on a limb, but great move by the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought, to move up to take Xavier Worthy speed demon here. I guess he'll try to recreate what we saw with Tyreek Hill. But Mahomes needs more weapons for the next chapter of his career. We saw Travis Kelce really slow down during the regular season. He was pretty good in the playoffs. Who knows about Rashee Rice here, looking like a bit of a jackass, getting in some trouble with the law here in the offseason. But anything else stand out to you that you liked or did not like in the first round, Ian?
I really like what the Vikings did in the first round, if I remember correctly. Once again, after the Penix pick last night, everything else was a blur. So the Vikings got both a pass rusher, and they didn't have to trade way up to get J.J. McCarthy, I believe the quarterback that they are kind of tied to. So being able to not have to make a crazy move to get McCarthy, and you still got one of the best pass rushers in the NFL draft, which is what they desperately needed this offseason. Off the top of my head, I think the Vikings might have had the best first round of all teams. But once again, my mind is still a blur. I still haven't recovered from the Penix pick, and it's going to take me a few days. It's hard for me to even get my thoughts together.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You were up live streaming throughout the whole thing too. So yeah, not quite himself here this morning. That's all right though. Guys, close to 800 viewers watching live right now across YouTube and X. Live chat fairly active. Hit it up. Let us know what you are on tonight. Producer Dell chiming in. Dolphins to not make the playoffs, plus 134. Lock it in. What do you have against Chop Robinson, the steal of the draft for the Dolphins? What a pick this guy is. Oh, my God. I can't believe he fell that far to Miami. I got to add here, guys, if you don't know Ian, so the pain and torture of being an Atlanta Falcons fan, he's also a Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Yeah, great.
Ian, before we let you out the door here, NHL, stack schedule here tonight in the playoffs. I know you're picking, I think, every game. Is there anything that you especially like on the board tonight?
Yes. And I will say, yeah, the pain of two nights ago, I had to watch my Leafs lose to the Bruins with Brad Marchand, that rat scoring a game winner and the empty netter, to then the Falcons last night. And now tomorrow night, guess what? I'm treated to having to watch the Leafs again, and it's probably not going to go well. NHL picks tonight. Yeah, I am betting on every single game. I would say my favorite pick, it is chalky. I mean, don't hate me too much for giving out a kind of a decent favorite here, but I think the Avalanche are leagues above the Jets. If you look at some of their advanced numbers from the first two games, they have an expected goal differential against the Jets of plus 2.48 per 60 minutes. And that was while in two games that were in Winnipeg, and now it goes back to Colorado tonight. I know the Avalanche are like minus 170 favorites, so, you know, this is not exactly a hot take. But I think the Avalanche might just completely dominate the Jets tonight. So if you want to get aggressive, take puck line as well. But in terms of the numbers, yeah, I still think there's plenty of value on the Avalanche despite being pretty big favorites.
Okay. Your Leafs, you give them a chance to come back this year? Just pay.
They might win game four. I think what it might actually happen is they just alternate games and it goes to game seven. And then we lose in heartbreaking fashion in game seven. It is probably how I actually envision this to play out. But I would be shocked if they win the series. It would be, that might surprise me more than how surprised I was when the Falcons took Penix Jr. last night. It's not going to happen. They're not going to beat the Bruins. The Bruins, they're in our head. Brad Marchand's going to score a million goals and have to stare at his rat face as he celebrates.
Yeah, Ian, in rare form here this morning. I absolutely love it. Ian, before you go, let the people know where they can find you and where they can find your work.
Yeah, Twitter, or I guess all social media, at Ian MacBets, Ian MacBets. All my written work is over at fansided.com/betsided. I'm betting on every single NHL playoff game. And then you can check out the Bacon Bets podcast as well.
Not exactly dripping with enthusiasm here, Ian, but
existence is pain, Joe. I just want one of my sports teams to win a championship once in my lifetime, and then I think I'll be in a lot better mood when these kinds of things happen, because I can just go back and watch like a championship DVD. But I'm getting impatient. I'm 31 years old now, Joe.
Yeah.
It's just nothing but heartbreak for my teams. Even the Falcons, I'm like, yeah, I'm all in. I got Kirk Cousins. This is gonna be great. Let's get an edge rusher. Let's get a receiver and let's make a deep run. And then they do what they did last night. It's like, I just can't have nice things. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't quite have it to your extent. Of course, my Miami Dolphins, it's an absolute joke of a roller coaster. It tends to end very badly, but
you got some cups.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, he got some cups.
A couple Stanley Cups. I'm young enough to old enough to remember when the Blue Jays went back to back.
Right.
92, 93, which they celebrate every year as if it just happened recently, for God's sakes. Okay. Enough misery, Ian. We will let you get on with your day. Hopefully things look up for you. Hopefully the Falcons can make a couple of selections that will impress you here going forward. So thanks for making time for us on this Friday. Best of luck with all your bets tonight.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Joe. Take care.
Yes, sir. The man right there. What an appearance. Okay, a lot to get into here, guys. Beautiful board in the NBA and the NHL. Keep dropping those picks in the comments section. I will rip through a few of them at the end of the show. But right now, let's rip through what I like in the NBA. Then in Major League Baseball, let's start with Bucks Pacers going down in Indiana. This one has a total of 223. I like this one to go over. So this is the lowest number of the series so far. Game one closed with a total of 230. This one all the way down to 223. You check out the regular season matchups between these teams. Every game had a total of 239 or higher with multiple games in the 250s. Now, I know scoring is down in the NBA, but I think this has gone too far. You check out the matchups between these teams. They have cleared 230 combined points in five of their six matchups this season, and in 11 of 12 going back to last season. They actually cleared 260 multiple times this season. So the ceiling for high scoring is high. Not as high as producer Mick will be next week on his week off of vacation. No criticism. Cannabis is legal up here in Canada, so shout out to producer Mick. Just one final note on that pick. This game is in Indiana. The Pacers at home this season, fastest pace in the NBA, number two in EFG percentage. Awful defensively, though, at home, 28th in points allowed on their home floor. Their home games averaged a combined score of right around 246. So I think high scoring in Indiana. Next up, Clippers, Mavs. I like Zubac to go over his points and rebound number. It's set at 22.5. And have you seen the first two games of this series so far? He's averaging 30 points and rebounds, 35 in one game, 25 in the other. Success versus Dallas is nothing new. Average 22 points and rebounds in the regular season in three games. But here's the thing. That was in just 23.3 minutes per game, and he does appear set for an increased workload in this series. 33 minutes played in each game so far, so I'd like Zubac to continue to stuff the stat sheet. And we'll wrap things up with the pride of Toronto, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. For the T-Wolves here, I like him to go over 8.5 points, plus money on this one, plus 106. That one is over at FanDuel, if you want to get the best number. So hot starts off the bench for Alexander Walker, 28 points in the series so far, 18 in one game, 10 in the other. He's seeing more time on the court compared to the regular season. These teams tend to shorten their benches in the playoffs, as we know. 29 minutes in one game, 31 in the other. And that's notable because he only averaged 23.4 minutes during the regular season. And what does more time on the court equal? It equals more shots. So he's topped 8.5 points in 12 straight games and an 18 of 19 in the regular season when he took at least 9 shots. In this series so far, he's taken 10 and 12. So Alexander Walker, an under-the-radar play there, over 8.5 points. Okay, let's get into Major League Baseball. And we're going to start things off with the sexiest bet type in all of sports betting. Of course, I am talking about the walk parlay. The people are loving it. We have one lined up here for tonight. Chris Bassett of the Blue Jays and Nate, the great Eovaldi, both have over 1.5 walks, plus 147. People ask me all the time, where do you bet walks at? A lot of sports books, DraftKings, Bet365. I think Caesars has them as well. I know FanDuel doesn't. So look around if you like betting walks like I do. So Chris Bassett first, he's walked two or more in all five of his starts this season. Three or more walks three times. He started last season with a lot of walks too, so a bit of a pattern there for him. He's taking on a Dodgers lineup that has the second highest walk percentage versus right-handed pitching this season. 10 walks in three starts. In his last three starts, meanwhile, for Nate the Great Eovaldi, at least two in all three, and he's taking on the Cincinnati Reds, who have the second highest walk percentage versus right-handed pitching over the last 2 weeks. So the walk parlay for tonight, Bassett and Eovaldi. Next up, I got some under-the-radar plays here today. How about Jose Buto? Do we have any fans of Jose Buto? Buto of the Mets here? I like him to go over 15.5 outs recorded, plus 105, a little bit of plus money on that one. So he's looking pretty good here. He's reached 18 outs in 2 of 3 starts this season, and he reached 18 outs on 90 and 91 pitches. The game he doesn't was against the Dodgers, so we can't really kill him too much for that. He's taking on a Cardinals lineup that has been awful versus right-handed pitching, 27th in OPS. Also, early game offense has been hard to come by for the Cards, 29th in runs scored in innings 1 through 5. So I think he's going to have an excellent shot sticking around in this one. So Buto of the Mets, over 15.5 outs recorded. Then we go out to Seattle. Emerson Hancock. Do we have any fans of Emerson Hancock watching the show today? Let us know in the live chat. The young man, 24 years old, I'm going to take him to go over 16.5 outs recorded, minus 105. So pretty clean results for him in 3 of 4 starts. Like I said, 24 years old, good for him. So he got rocked by the Brewers in one game, but outside of that, 3 separate starts where he allowed 5 base runners or less. He's easily topped this number of 16.5 in his last 2 starts, both times in under 90 pitches, including one game, 74 pitches against the Cubs. Maybe sneaky here. You probably don't know about this. Maybe you do, depending on your level of handicapping. But he's taking on the D-backs, who are really struggling against right-handed pitching right now. 27th in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks. So the young man, let's rally around him tonight, people. Emerson Hancock, over 16.5 outs. Yeah, I added him to my fantasy team tonight, too. Spot start because of Lizardo. I think is got scratched from his start today. Rough start to the season for him. Okay, let's rip through the live chat here quickly. Luke Murphy asking, since you are the walk guru, what do you think about Allen over 1.5 walks today? I was indifferent about that one. I passed on it. I know he's going up against the Braves. I would lean towards the over there. It escapes me what the number was. Maybe something to throw into a parlay. But yeah, Allen absolutely stinks. Patrick McWhorter, a regular here in the comments section, Atlanta Falcons, Super Bowl champs. Can you imagine? Michael Penix. There we go. Chip Pillar, some hockey. I'm on Colorado over 6.5. If Prez likes it, I do. Now, is he referring to Dave Portnoy there? President? Maybe we'll try to get him on the show sometime. Tanner Holden, yeah, asking, kind of rubbing it in. Yeah, the Broncos, they kind of maybe reached on a quarterback as well. Chip Pillar leaning Nashville, like Colorado, 3-way money line. Yeah, that's how you get a little bit of a better number. Plus 105, that's not bad at all. What else do we have here? We have producer Dell was being a jackass. Patrick McWhorter also likes the Canucks money line. Jingles, we got to get this guy on to talk some hockey here. He has a great hockey show here on the Covers YouTube channel, by the way, if you guys are looking for more NHL betting content, one of the best shows, NHL betting wise that there is. So make sure that you check that out. Make sure you subscribe to the channel here so you don't miss it all. Oh my God. This is some soccer. I think all first half over half a goal in Netherlands Division 2 at 2 PM. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. Netherlands Division Soccer, okay, we'll take your word for it. A shootout in Colorado tonight. BTTS, first P, plus 160, great price at SGM with a 6.5 total. Yeah, what is it they say? 3 plus 3 equals 7. Dell weighing in. He likes the Bucks as an underdog here, plus 6.5. Yeah, I could see them bouncing back. Also likes the Suns to bounce back. Mega lock parlay. I don't like throwing spreads into parlays, but to each their own. Yeah, it'll be interesting. The Suns look kind of dead, right? But we thought the same about the Sixers and especially the Magic. They bounced back at home there last night, so I could see the Suns doing the same thing. And then Jingles having some fun with emojis there. The other coverage analyst said Buto under 5.5 strikeouts. Yeah, that very well might be the case here. But yeah, that doesn't mean he won't go over his outs recorded total. I don't think the Cardinals have an extremely high strikeout percentage. So yeah, hopefully a lot of ground balls for outs so we can both cash our bets there. And both teams score. Yeah, he knew I was struggling with that BTTS1. So yeah, a repeat of that one. Shootout in Colorado. Both teams to score in the first period, plus 160. I didn't know what he was talking about. But we got that one now. Okay, guys. So that does it for today's show. Covered off a lot here in 25 minutes. We thank Ian very much again for joining. Make sure you follow him and all of his great work. Check out the Covers YouTube channel here if you're looking for more stuff to bet on tonight. We got some Major League Baseball. We got some NHL up there already. There's a UFC card tomorrow. We have a video up for that with a bunch of best bet breakdowns. And yeah, it's going to be a great weekend here of sports betting. So we thank you guys very much for joining. Best of luck with your bets, and we will catch you again on Monday.